welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And we got a full show. We got some jQuery love.
And we have some Windows Mobile love as well.
Yeah, and we got some of our personal applications.
Yeah.
How to be a bigger Warcraft geek.
And how to be a bigger alcoholic.
Yes, yes. but first, talking about the big news, one of them is the new MMO. Not really. MMOD, which is March Madness on Demand.
Ooh.
So CBS News is actually going to have all 63 games for March Madness, which is college basketball for people that don't follow sports, which is probably all of our watchers. All 63 games online using Silverlight. So, and this is using adaptive streaming, so it's 550K or the HD 1.5 megabit.
So this is basically March Madness for the Olympics, but in March Madness.
Yeah, think of it that way.
Okay.
It's an easy way to think about it. So, and the cool part is, obviously, for those of us who play brackets, we can now watch all our games on Silverlight. So, cool stuff.
Excellent.
So, what's this Win Mobile stuff?
Okay, so Microsoft has a mobile operating system, and we just announced Windows Mobile 6.5, which includes MyPhone, which MyPhone is a very nice thing that allows you to actually back up your entire cell phone. So, in case if it gets lost, stolen, or you have to do a hard reset on it, you have all your text messages, photos, videos, and contacts are stored in a secured location by Microsoft, so you don't have to worry about it in the cloud. And so you don't have to worry anymore. Like, those, you will always have those items. And also, there was a couple big user interface adjustments. Now we have the honeycomb for picking your items, and then we also have a brand new home screen that it makes it a lot easier to use your finger to do
everything. Using gestures, right?
Yeah, both use gestures to do
cool.
it.
Cool. Very cool stuff. Yeah, I think the MyPhone stuff is really cool, just having the backup of the text messages, too. So when somebody drunk texts me, I can make sure that I don't lose that, which is no one.
I've never done that.
On to some web stuff.
Nice.
So jQuery. This is 131. Tell us, what's this about?
So pretty much everyone on our community should know what IntelliSense is, but now if you download the VS Docs, now you can get IntelliSense for jQuery for 131.
For the updated libraries.
Yes, for the updated libraries.
And for people that don't know jQuery, the next thing is our intro video. So this was Simona Chiaretta. Talked about Simona, I should say. A jQuery video, and the goal is if you've never actually used jQuery, which there's a lot of people that
it's semi new technology out there, I would say, and it has built-in UI effects. You can do DOM transversal, AJAX requests. It can do a lot of stuff. It's super powerful
and totally extensible as well. So there's over an hour video going through jQuery. So for people that are interested in starting with jQuery, this is a good video.
Yeah, definitely.
So, speaking of jQuery, Duncan McKenzie and team just recently launched Oxite.
Excellent. And that powers Mix, the Mix's website. Visit mix.com.
Yes, look at you. Look at you. So this is a CodePlex project, another open source project. And it's got a bunch of new features. They had a bunch of feedback from the community as well that they should be using patterns and practices. So I think they're using Unity and a bunch of other open source.
Yeah, and they cleaned up a bunch of stuff. So basically, they made it a better example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a more maintainable project.
And in terms of end users who just want to use it and don't really care how it's made, Nathan Heskew, one of the devs, has a guide to how to skin Oxite. So if you're looking
that is huge.
Yeah, so like you're looking to put this on danfernandez.com or
betterthaneveryone.com.
Plug! for example, you can easily follow his guidelines as well.
So. I mean, that would make life so much easier.
I actually am looking to install Oxite. I just got to find the time. So it can be I can bother them with, I need a new feature. I need PayPal so people will love me. So moving on.
So Brian Gorbit, I hope I just pronounced his last name correctly. He created a mesh video player in Silverlight. So it uses the Silverlight video player and then uses mesh as its data source.
Yes.
So it's pretty much using two pretty well-known technologies and merging them into in a scenario that really probably wasn't thought of when they were developed.
Yeah, so I think the cool part is, if for people that haven't built, like, say, a live framework app, mesh app, whatever, it's an easy example to sort of see how it's picking up any videos from that are available via mesh and then put into the Silverlight player. So, cool stuff. Easy. Samples. Love them.
And speaking of another example, this is loading an image from a stream. So this is Silverlight, I believe.
So this is, you gotta imagine you had a button click and you want to show a dialogue for an open file dialogue.
Yeah.
You're gonna pick an image. If you can see the code here, it's just showing PNG images are all files. So when it actually returns, it builds a stream object, does an open read on it, and then starts up a new bitmap image, and then does the set source to that stream. So it does a read on that, puts the contents of the bitmap image into that stream, and then finally, for people looking at the code, my image is actually a XAML image that's declared, and it just set the source property. Dependency property, I believe. Point is, if you're looking for a simple example of how to, say, upload an image from your desktop onto the internets, or...
internets.
Yeah, there you go.
The inner tubes. So, I mean, this is a great, great example for doing that.
Yeah. So, it's cool stuff and simple, easy to use. Now, this is another one, cool app. This is on code.msdn.com, so a lot of open source projects this week. But it's a Windows image to virtual hard disk converter. So the idea is whether it's the image that just ships with Windows or, say, like an enterprise image that you may have in your company, what you can actually do is take that image and convert it to a virtual hard disk. So you can use it in virtual PCs, in Hyper-V, in
virtual server.
Yeah, exactly. So... the project's open source, so...
And I don't know about you, but I have to use a lot of virtual machines just to test out stuff.
Yeah, so that's the big thing where you want to have, like, hey, wouldn't it be great if I just had an image of XP or...
because I'm running Windows 7 beta, and there are times where I need to test IE6, and so I just boot up a Windows XP virtual machine, and boom, I can do it.
Yeah. Plus, you can do the differencing images. So, if you want one version that's just plain before Visual Studio is installed and the dependencies and all that stuff. So, there's a video online and you can definitely check this out. But a great utility for devs that are doing testing.
Yeah.
So, this is one that Sarah Perez was talking about, another open source project called Live Upload. So, Lord knows I've seen your pictures on or your pictures of me on Facebook, and that's scary. But what it is Windows Live Gallery is extensible. So there's been extensible extensions to upload pictures to Flickr, and these are some of the community ones. I think it was a Microsoft intern that did this.
Okay.
But it can upload your pictures to Facebook automatically. So you install the latest version of Windows Live Gallery, install this, and then it can upload your pictures to Facebook.
That's super, super awesome, because then I can have all my images in the Flickr, all my images in the Facebook, and it just works.
Yeah, but I think we need, like, the tie-in. So, like, what I'd want to do, because Facebook has, by default, low-res pictures.
Yeah.
But, and if you have a Flickr Pro account, you can actually have the full source image.
Yeah.
So you could actually, like, imagine it uploading to Facebook, and then, because it can set a comment within there, because Facebook has an API, another CodePlex project as well. And actually have it linked back to your Flickr, so they're, like, tied together. They're tied together. It's going to be great.
So this is the Visual Studio Copy Sources HTML add-in. So I do a lot of blogging in both my personal blog and for the Coding for Fun blog on MSDN, another plug. And one thing I constantly do is put up source code. And this is a nice little plugin that has a bunch of options. So I can just grab the source code from Visual Studio and paste it straight into Windows Live Writer, and I don't have to worry about using any of the plugins to make the source code look right. It just does it all automatically within Visual Studio, and that makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, I think one of the things for the Live Writer ones that do where it converts code to source is it doesn't have a lot of options, but if you actually look at the options here, and maybe you can see
two, four, there's six tabs, but four of the tabs look like are options.
Like including how you're going to handle line breaks, removing line breaks, how many spaces for tabs.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, this is great.
So we will play with that. Now, Josh Holmes, who you probably vaguely remember
meeting? I vaguely remember.
Yes, good times.
I'm assuming he'll make fun of me in March also.
Yes, so what I didn't know is that people have actually built extensions for Blend, because Blend doesn't have an extensibility model.
See, I did not know that until you just mentioned that.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. So what the so Josh blogs about three of his favorite Blend extensions.
Okay.
Right. So the idea is, one is Unify, and it's kind of a pain to set up, but you do it one time, and you can actually send in command line parameters, and it basically it's an add-in that helps you load other add-ins, right? So you do that one time, and then you have add-ins inside Blend. And then the two add-ins that ship are Colorful Expression, right?
Yeah.
Which shows you color swatches. So what colors work well together?
Yeah, I'm, you know, being a developer, that's huge, because I'll happily put, you know, fuchsia and, I don't know, cyan. Hopefully those colors clash. I don't know.
You know. You just don't want it. So that's an easy one. If, like, I'm designing some UI, I got a bunch of things I want to put together. The other one is BlendSense, and this is IntelliSense for XAML. So,
So yeah, I mean, me without IntelliSense, it's the blind leading the blind.
Yes. So, some pretty cool add-ins, and they're available for free as well.
That's huge once again.
So, kudos to Josh for finding cool Blend add-ins. Now, extension methods.
Yay.
Evil or not evil?
I do not believe they're evil. I think they're very, very useful, and they help reduce the amount of function wrappers you'll have to do.
Yep. I'm with you. So I use, some people think extension methods are evil. I think this is 15 helpful extension methods, and it's everything from converting something to an integer to date time functions.
Yeah.
I think they're great.
Because, I mean, just think about
how... It can be overused.
Oh, I totally agree. But think about, like, how many times in your source code you'll do convert.toInt32 and you pass in a string. Now you can just have your string .toInt. Boom, you're done. Yeah,
exactly. So I used it in one of our apps, InnerTube, because I needed an observable collection data type.
Okay.
So, and if you're working with IEnumerable, a list of stuff, and there's extension methods that exist to put it to an array or to list, but not to an observable collection. So I just built a to observable collection extension method, and that way whenever I needed it, I could just go to it like that and not have to do all this crazy casting.
Yeah.
So easy, so easy. So I could just have my little link query one line. So new channel line show launch. This is Max and Laura doing a show called Ping.
Okay.
So a little bit of an experiment, certainly different than a lot of the content we've been doing on 9. And feedback's been kind of all over the place, right?
Okay.
There's some people that actually liked it, some people that are saying, what the hell are you doing? But listening.
Yeah.
They're listening, and they're evolving the show in the future.
That's good to hear. I mean, you have to try new stuff and see if it works.
Yeah. So, and some of the changes, I think, are a lot of the stuff we have on Channel 9 is developer-focused or has been developer-focused. When Scoble was on, like, he did a lot of stuff that really wasn't developer-focused, like, you know, the Robert Fripp Windows booting sound, right, music. Like, that was just cool stuff, and I think we need to get back to thinking about just cool things that people are interested in. So it'll be interesting to see how the show evolves in the future and how they take feedback.
Yeah.
But this is one of the biggest response rates for videos that we've had in a while, which is at least a good thing for starting a conversation.
And we do listen to feedback.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So now picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Yes. So a new version of Drunk Tender.
Yes. So.
What is a Drunk Tender?
So. A long time ago, I built a computer-controlled disco dance floor, and then I needed a way to make beverages at the same time.
So you're too lazy to mix rum and or Coke. Got it.
Hey, I'm a busy person.
So you spent hours. Go on.
So I decided to over-engineer a solution and build a automated bartender. So all you do is it's all RFID based, so I can track you versus me. So I swipe in, click the most poured drink, and it will automatically just pour it into your cup.
You know, it has a list of menus based on the drinks, right?
So it's the entire system is powered by SQL in the back end. So I know which alcohol goes to which valve to that opens and closes and dispenses it. Because I know this list, I can determine what drinks are possible to make with the system. Right. So at no point in time will you get a beverage that is, you know, you don't have that liquid, therefore it can't make it.
Right. So this is the new version.
Yes.
What's new in Drunk Tender?
So Drunk Tender, I bought a new relay system. I really do love that name too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I built a new. I bought a new relay system from a company called Control Anything, and it's Bluetooth this time. Because last time I blew up a laptop, and that's a bit of an expensive piece of hardware to replace. So this time it's Bluetooth. So there's no way I can blow up a laptop. Well, there is a way, but I won't blow it up,
Sure. Hopefully.
And I decided to, I grew as a developer, so I decided, why not make this more asynchronous? Because like a drink like a Long Island iced tea, there's multiple alcohols that you pour at the same time, and then you just splash the Coke at the very end. So that means you're going from an asynchronous call to a synchronous call.
Right.
So you have to, so I wrote the software using a semaphore and mutexes and mutually exclusive controls. And I actually had to bust out my college computer design book to figure out, like, is this the proper thing to use?
Nice.
So now it's working. I posted all the source code. And the cool thing is with the source, it's generic enough where you only have to tweak, just delete three lines of code out of it, and it should work for other applications.
Nice.
Other than just serving alcohol.
And this picture here, this is Jimmy Kimmel. So why don't you tell the story? How the hell you got Jimmy Kimmel?
So back in...
And who's Jimmy Kimmel?
Okay, so Jimmy Kimmel is an individual, I believe he's on NBC or one of them.
ABC.
ABC? I don't know. And he, I just remember he was part of the a show on Comedy Central. The man show. And he came by to Maker Faire and started interviewing people and talking and trying to make fun of them. And he found out about the Drunk Tender, came over, asked for a demo. I gave him the little spiel, poured him a drink. He took a sip, and I just...
What was it?
It was rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke, right.
And then he took the sip, and I just pounded the rest.
Yeah, that was a great, wonderful time. So you got Jimmy Kimmel.
I did. I got to actually shake his hand.
Yeah.
This hand shook Jimmy Kimmel's hand. Most
so
people don't want to touch
airing
it,
actually.
No, they didn't.
They said they were.
They did. I actually told a bunch of people that I was going to be on Jimmy Kimmel, and then they made fun of me the next day.
Epic fail.
I know.
But so the point is, if you get a Drunk Tender, you may have Jimmy Kimmel coming to drink.
Yeah.
That's the moral of the story. And source code's available. So speaking of personal projects, Adam Studio for World of Warcraft, new version 2, Beta 2, is now available. And our goal was to have a version that worked with Wrath of the Lich King, the latest version. Yeah, I know.
I stay away from this game.
Gabor Ratke and a bunch of guys have been working on this. The cool part is there's a lot of new features in there. Like we actually ship with a compatible version of a Lua 5.1.1 compiler. Lua is the language that you actually use. The goal here being is building add-ons for World of Warcraft is a pain. Right, you have to know Lua, you have to know Frame XML, and Frame XML is this XML that's kind of like WPF.
So it's XAML-ish?
Yeah, it's XAML-ish, right? So I describe button within markup tags, right? But rather than having to edit just an XML document, you can actually have a visual designer and drag and drop things on and visually show where buttons are, or in-game, like if you want to use an in-game resource, like there's... an image for somebody stabbing somebody. Wouldn't it be cool if you could actually crack open the files?
So you're building an add-on to World of Warcraft so you guys can cheat.
It's not to cheat. It's add-ons are permitted by the Blizzard Entertainment. We're making it easier to build add-ons. Because before you'd have to manually test and be like, wow, I hope I have the path to that string right. And it's like, no, we can do the lookup for you automatically.
Okay.
And you get a visual representation of those in-game images, for example.
Okay.
You can right-click and run code. There's just a bunch of features in there.
That's amazing. I mean, too bad I just... I won't ever play that game.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea just because it is a little crackish. But for people that are like World of Warcraft and are .NET developers looking to have an easy way to build add-ons. And everything's open source, so if you want to see how we actually did the Lua parser, the Frame XML, Visual Designer, every project system, controls.
And didn't you say there's a compiler in there also?
Yes. The compiler is actually a separate thing that we brought in. We were using some other elements like OnkSVN for subversion check-in, check-out. But which is another project that we can just reuse. But if you're looking to see how to build your own IDE, this is a lot of the scaffolding for you.
Oh, nice.
Cool. All right, so that's everything. Thank you, Clint, for...
Thank you, Dan. No problem.
And thanks, everyone.
Thank you.